So on this week's edition of the Maze Marketing Podcast, Jonathan and I address a reader's question that I received from someone asking me, well, what exactly is the maze? I don't get it. I don't understand it. So that's what we're talking about in this week's episode. This is a really core episode, I think. So pay close attention, make some notes, and please do ask us more questions. And the more questions you ask, the more we'll clarify things. Let's jump into the conversation.
Kick it off, Rob. So you had a reader ask a question.
Yeah, so we've obviously launched this podcast, the Maze Marketing Podcast. I announced this to my list, and a reader who I'm good friends with replied, and I won't repeat his exact wording, but he said something to the effect of, what the bloomin' heck is this maze thing that you're on about?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, we need to talk about this. So what is the maze? That's what we're talking about.
So maze 101. So it let's talk about it conceptually first, and we can get into strategies and tactics later, although we already have discussed strategies and tactics some, right? So why a maze? Why is this thing a maze? Well, it's actually not intended to mean that it's a trap or complexity, but there is a path to it that's not linear. That is the point. It's spatial. Could have picked some other word, I suppose, but maze is what it is. So, and it comes from this. As we talked about, I think in the last episode, or maybe the time before, the classic online marketing paradigm. So what am I talking about? And basically you do something online and you hope you get a sale or a lead or a customer. The classic way to do that has worked well for many people is very linear, very one-to-one. Run an ad, show a web page, get a sale. Boom, boom, boom. 1, 2, 3. And it has worked quite well. In the cases where it does work well, it usually comes from what we call the direct response school of thought, which is people who are determined to make that one ad and that one page perform very well, which is admirable, and it's done great. But here in this century, in 2018, 2019, really for the last few, probably 3, 4, 5 years, people online, consumers online, have come to be very burned out by that paradigm. So in other words, they are now so used to clicking an ad and being immediately asked for their email address. This is only an example, but it's a good one, that they're now jaded. And in the old days, that was new. That was fresh. It was interesting, and they'd give their email address. Nowadays, they don't. Or if they give one, they're giving their spam address, their spare Yahoo or AOL address that they never check anymore, because really they're just annoyed by you asking the question, asking for the email address, and they want to get past it and see the next thing on the other side. So it's like, if that no longer works well, if the average consumer is jaded to that, what are we going to do to draw them closer to our home? To home base. What is home base? Well, it is a sale, but part of the maze concept is that this is not all just about sale. It's about trying to actually help and serve your customers and realizing that some content, some understanding is going to have to pass between us all before we can really help somebody. To various degrees, but we're not just going to be able to jump right in. So I'll give another example. I'm going to borrow this from somebody else, but the idea was brought up that what if you went to the doctor and he took one look at you and said, oh yeah, you need this surgery right here, right? You'd be like, something is a little odd here. Don't you want to look at my knee? Don't you want to run an x-ray? Don't you want to ask me why I showed up in your office in the first place? Right? So there's a little bit of this going on.
As he's wielding a saw in your face.
Say it again.
As he's wielding a saw in your face.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, there's a million ways we can hit this up, but that is in short That's what it's all about. So rather than trying to just grab a hold of somebody and yank them through the door, so to speak, you want to give them, maybe you could compare it to a tour of the office first, rather than just sit down and have the surgery right now. Boom.
So really, it's a model of nurture, of building a relationship with someone that isn't just squeezing their email address out of their brain.
You got it. Pushing
it into a 17-page sales letter. Although you might still have the 17-page sales letter, but it's not. My sort of take on it is that, like, people don't like to feel pressured in that way, yeah. Whereas they might have put up with it more.
Yep, exactly. And another thing to go along with that is the fact that there's different levels to this. So, probably like the absolute most minimum contact is just that someone would ever actually be aware of you. Okay. You got to have that. If they've never heard of you, never seen you, never seen anything, then for them, you don't exist. So first you have to come into existence, so to speak. They have to see your name, your offer, your brand, your whatever. They have to see you, have to see your stuff. And at first you'll probably be ignored. After some amount of time, and the amount of time always varies. I mean, sometimes this is still a very quick process. Other times it may take years. So once they are aware of you, they may stop and actually give a little bit of their time, which if you think about it, time is valuable for everybody, because even if they're bored and have nothing to do, there's at least some other form of entertainment they could be looking at instead of reading your ad, your post, your blog, your page, your video, whatever. So the first thing is that they give you a little bit of their time and attention, and then they may give more. They may click, they may visit your site, they may read one article, they may read five articles. Sooner or later, something may happen to where they do give you their email address, but that may not be all. At some point, they may also give you their physical address, their mailing address, or their phone number. Now, phone number is specifically something that is considered very close to home. So if you think about it, the average person is going to guard their phone number far more than they would their email. Email is disposable. They can kind of ignore their inbox or unsubscribe if your spam shows up in their box. But everybody has a gut instinct that if they hand out their phone number, it better be someone they want to hear from, because nobody wants their phone being rung up by a spammer, right?
I sort of half agree. I mean, it depends what email address it is. If it's like your old Yahoo address, like you just hand out for anyone, but if it's like your real business email where you read every email that comes in, yeah, then you think twice about it. But I think it's interesting what you said about like the level of attention. It's like this level of attention is always going up or down. Yep. So it's based on how recently have you provided me with value. Yep. And based on how valuable that was, it increases or decreases the chance of me engaging with you next time you appear in whatever format that is, whether it's email, whether it's social, whatever.
Exactly. So then, and a lot of these things that we're talking about and that we'll continue to say are really, it's the same thing. We're just going to hit it up from different angles or perspectives. So another part of that is, picture the maze as a journey, right? And again, it may take some time and it may take a lot of touch points. And along that journey, it helps if people are able to see and hear from you in different ways. So I think we may have talked about modalities. There's learning modalities, there's a format and, you know, channel modalities, all these different ways. And if someone only ever sees or hears of you in exactly one fashion, for example, only on a Google search, you do get some of their attention in a very narrowly defined way. And it doesn't have much progress to it. But when they then begin to see and hear from you in many different ways, you show up in a little ad on the side of a web page, you show up in their Facebook feed, you show up on their when they're watching videos on YouTube, you show up in their podcast, you show up in their inbox, maybe in the physical postal mailbox as well. Mm-hmm. It begins to take them on a much longer journey that takes up a lot more of a spatial, it creates more of a spatial relationship about your company in their mind.
It adds layers of depth to it, I think.
Yeah, layers of depth. Yep.
Yeah. It's also like less fragile as well, because like as we were talking about last week, if Facebook do decide for whatever reasons to disable your ads accounts, and that is your one way of staying in contact with mm-hmm. your audience, then good luck with that, because I'm not doing very well.
Yep. What do you think? Is that painting a good picture?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So in terms of like, so to me, the maze analogy also implies decision points. Like, so someone presumably enters your maze at some point by seeing something that you put out there, whether that's an article, whether that's a lead magnet. Something like, so my way of thinking about it is the decision points kind of focus on recency in terms of like, okay, so which way are we going to go in the maze? So are we going to show them another ad? Are we going to spend more money on them? Are we going to try to spread them to other forms of media? Then I probably want to ask questions about, well, how recently have they been on the website, for example?
Yep. So, and it's a quantity thing. So somebody who's not interested, there's no point in blasting them with your message, right? And also they're probably not prepared to take an offer of any kind. So depending on recency and other things, the extent of their interaction, you may just keep your message. So this is when we say your message, we are predominantly talking about ads or email or it can apply to other things too, right? But the ones that we have the most control over are those and maybe like, you know, messenger bots or something like that that's interactive. You would turn your volume up and down, so to speak, based on how recently they've engaged and how frequently they've engaged. Combination of the two.
Yep.
You don't want somebody to just barely get to the edge of the curve and then blast them with a water hose and keep on blasting as they run away.
It's almost like a self-organizing system, because if someone is, you know, assuming you have like a regular schedule of production. So if you're sending like a daily email, like I do, for example, then something that I've been doing is when people open the email, or more particularly when they click on a link in the email, they get added to a recently clicked audience. So I have various recently clicked audiences. I have like clicked in the last 7 days, clicked in the last 30 days, clicked in the last 60 days. And obviously as time passes, they get removed from those audiences.
Yeah.
It means that I can then start to say, okay, I've got this small number of people who have been active very recently. I'm going to send them most of my love. If there's, you know, specific offers, specific discounts, I want to look out for, you know, certain things, and I'm going to offer it to those people first. I'm not going to offer it to everyone and spend a fortune. Cause you know, I think the other thing as well is that like most pay-per-click platforms on social media, like they're, you know, it's expensive. Click prices are not going down, you know, newsflash, never will, you know, unless there's a, you know, major economic crash, which, you know, might happen, but you know, I don't really see click prices coming down particularly. So it's like, well, you know, you've got to be spending decent money to make stuff happen. It's like, well, you might as well prioritize your efforts based on user behavior, not just by throwing it at an audience. So I guess another thing I wanted to talk about, we really got the maze analogy from Perry Marshall, and he, when he introduced the maze, so his maze 1.0 was an email marketing methodology, which basically follows this structure. So like when people opt into your email list, and over time you send more emails to the people who click on stuff, and if someone never clicks on anything, never opens anything, then eventually they end up in, I think, what he calls the back pasture, where they get like, you know, one email every 3 months or something.
Exactly.
And I guess that really what we're talking about is, so because people are spending less time looking at their email, and email is not just the only way to stay in contact with people, you know, we now do have things like messenger bots, which I've been ignoring for a long time, and now I'm getting to the point where I can't really ignore it anymore. You know, with direct mail, I've always had that. We have like a million social platforms. So it's taking the same model, but kind of expanding it out. And it's not just like layering it up. It almost feels like email is like, you know, this big, and then Maze 2.0 is like a sphere bigger around it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of that spatial thing. So it's, there's a much bigger scope of what people experience throughout the day. Right. And the email inbox is just one tiny little way to access them. One narrow little space in their day, in their activities, in their mind. And there's just so many more avenues by which you can be in front of them. Right. And that is that, that's a huge part of it.
I think we really want to see ads from people that we like, and and like my, I think I've been saying this a lot recently, but my biggest frustration with Facebook is that like, I basically view most of the ads in my newsfeed as being a pain. Yeah. I would like to see ads, more ads from people that I'm opted into.
Exactly.
Either their emails.
Yeah.
I might have bought from in the past. Maybe I will buy again. You know, it's like the parts of your list that are most likely to buy again are probably the people who bought in the past, rather than a cold person who's just come in. So, you know, it basically does make sense to focus on that. I guess the downside is from a technical perspective, like it does add more complexity compared to just like having, you know, an opt-in form and then a series of like 7 emails or 10 emails and then a 1-page order form. It is more complicated because we now have that, but we also have remarketing, and then we have different things circling around it that we add people to depending on if they interact with the emails, for example. It's almost like you can't really get away from the issue of making it more complicated.
Well, that's true. So in a certain sense, that's nothing more than the fact that the world moves on, right? Referring back to the beginning of this conversation, it used to work fairly well, and in some cases still does, to have one click to one page, and then you've got a sale. That's simple. If that still works for you, awesome. But for those that, you know, in a situation where it doesn't, if you want to keep going, you've got to try more things, right? And so, yes, it does mean that you have to build more, so to speak. You're building a 3-legged or 4-legged stool instead of a 1-legged staff to lean on or whatever. But there, at the same time, if you compare this to, like, for example, to trying to gain followers and such with a social media production schedule, you want to talk about work. That can be work. If you're going to crank out fresh content every day, every week, whatever, you know, and always something new and live and organic, that is going to take a huge amount of resources. Whereas with the Maze, one of the nice things about it is, yep, there is a little bit more automated, systematized stuff to set up. And so in a certain sense, it adds complexity. But the good news is, because it is, the whole system is carefully engineered to put these bits of content out in front of people in a certain order over a certain amount of time. And no, everybody is not seeing everything at once. It has a sequential order to it. And what that means is, rather than endlessly cranking out new posts, so to speak, on Instagram or Facebook or a new video every day, you get to create some and set it up and then let it run. So compared to that content production way of doing things, it's actually very simple and very efficient to set up and run in this sequential manner.
I actually do a combination of the two. So I have like the ongoing production aspect, but then what I really need to get better at is taking my best emails. I mean, essentially I do repurpose them because many of my best emails end up in my books.
Yep.
But I could also take them and create Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, sure, things like that, and run them to my most engaged readers.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, my email rate's what, 25-30% if I really push it?
Okay.
People don't read every email.
Yeah. And never will. And they won't read every ad either.
No. So I think it's a mistake to assume that just because you've run an email in the past, like, it's a mistake to assume that just because you've read every email, everyone on the list has read all of those emails and will remember them. I've actually rerun old emails from time to time, and then it's basically fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it a lot, but I do it a bit.
Yeah.
As long as the emails are really good.
Yeah. So I think part of your point there is a lot of efficiency comes from repurposing content. When you find something that works, you've created a message, a bit of content that resonates with your audience, you want to leverage it and reuse it in as many places as you can.
So you could look at all of the emails. So assuming that you do have a regular schedule of production, so you're sending like a weekly email or a daily email or whatever it is, like if you look at all of the stuff that you've sent and sort it by open rate, for example.
I would, yeah, exactly.
Then the highest ones with the highest open rates or the ones that you had the most replies to, you know, if you send out an email and you get a flurry of replies to it and it stimulates a bunch of good conversations, then that is a good candidate for setting that email up as a Facebook ad in your Maze 2.0 funnel as another way of engaging your audience, I guess. So you're not doing this with like every email that you send out. You're just like looking back at the data and you're cherry picking certain ones and you're reusing stuff that you've already done.
Yeah. And over time, so it's not like you'll create, you know, 12 pieces of content or something and leave it forever. You always want to be trying to improve that. You look at your stats and you go, you know what, the first three are great and the fourth one, nobody ever clicks on that thing. So let's try swapping it out for another one. And so, yeah, there is always some work, some more new content to be produced. And in addition to that, to your point about doing both, you do have to get people in to your Maze initially. And in that case, there is a lot of new ads and new content, new flag waving that may go on. But if you imagine trying to kill all the birds with one stone, say, for example, you've got a Facebook page and you've got followers and you're trying to both attract new people and persuade people who are halfway down the pike at the same time, you're going to feel like a one-man band pretty quickly, right? And so when you're able to steer the people who are interested and engaged down a predefined pathway towards, you know, hearing the right things about you, learning what they need to know before they become a customer or a prospect or a lead, if you can automate that system, then you can put your efforts on any daily or weekly content production towards getting in front of new people and getting them into your Maze in the first place.
It's almost like the ongoing production is like a prospective exercise for coming up with content that will plug into your Maze at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Just interested, actually, when you're planning these things out, do you kind of map out what the pathway is going to look like, or do you kind of let it evolve?
It's a little bit of letting it evolve, but yeah, you got to plan it out. So one of the principles of the Maze, and again, we talk about it being spatial or a bigger sphere than this single finite point of contact. You've got to do it on some channels that exist, right? So in other words, you've got to actually show ads or content where people are. And of course there is a wide range of those, but there's a handful that have most of the people. So obviously email is a big one. Facebook is a big one. Google, all three arms there of Google. So search, GDN, and YouTube. And then other, depending on who your audience is, other places too. Yeah, exactly. And other places too, maybe Twitter, maybe LinkedIn, depends on who you're selling to. And so nobody can do everything at once, right? There, if you count them all, there's hundreds of platforms. That's too much work, but you need to pick at least three, maybe four, and focus on those. And it's best if there is some variety within it. So, email and Facebook gives you a place to write some text for the people who want to read. GDN and Facebook gives you a place to display an image for the people who are visual and are going to connect to looking at something you've got to show them. YouTube and Facebook then show video, and obviously there's the audio component of the video as well. So that gives people at least four different ways to absorb your message And potentially, if you do those exact ones that I just named, a very wide scope. So they're going to see you all over the place, especially when you add GDN, the display network in. Those ads show up on other sites all over the internet. So you end up looking like you are everywhere. And that's a common response. When we start one of these, people will often say, our clients will often say, oh, I've had people contact me and say, hey, I'm seeing your ads everywhere. You're everywhere.
Assisted conversions are a real thing on the display network. It might be like the YouTube video or the Facebook ads or whatever, or the email that gets people to actually buy. But it was the fact that they've seen you quite a lot as they've been going about the internet that maybe will set the groundwork for that. And I think we shouldn't underestimate that as well.
Yeah.
Final question.
Hey.
So if someone's listening to this and it's like, okay, that's great in principle. So I'm going to identify three places to start. So say, I don't know, Facebook, email, YouTube. Does that sound like a sensible starting point?
Yeah, and really, again, nobody can really build this out in a day. You do need to strategize. Be aware of the fact that you're going to have to build this over time. And I've actually seen people try to over-strategize, and they'll be like, here's my funnel map, you know, and it's 16 feet wide and has 700 lines on it. I mean, go ahead if you want to, but that's going to kill most people. It's going to kill your creativity too. So pick one, build it out. And let's clarify one little point. So the beginning of a maze is often about somewhere between 7 and 12 pieces of content. The content are going to, there's 100 ways to look at this, but you're going to give value or nurture first, which simply means that the first few bits of content that they see from you, content and ads are essentially the same with what we're discussing here. We got to clarify that. But yeah, so the first few things that they're going to see from you are not selling. That is the point. When we say nurture or give value, you may be teaching, you may be funny, you may be talking about current news or something else of interest to them. You're helping them get a new insight or learn about a new tool or find a new way to do something, or just helping them, you know, resonate with them really well. But you're not going to give a sales pitch in the first several pieces of content. And so you can start right there. You plan your first somewhere between 7 and 12 pieces of content. The very last or one of the last would be the first piece that puts up any kind of offer. Click here. I've got an XYZ for you. You can buy this. You can opt into my list. That's the offer, and that goes last. And you build just one of those things. Pick one platform. Facebook is, in general, going to be a great place to start that and focus on that. Tune it up. Well, look at it for a while. Does it work? Like I said earlier, maybe the first three pieces of content get a lot of engagement and the fourth one does not. Well, then work on that. Once you have that one little stream, we actually call it a channel within an arm. An arm is like the very general scope of what's going on. Then the channel is exactly which platform you are putting it onto. So get it working, for example, on Facebook. And once it's going well, now copy it to something else. Copy it to GDN or copy it to YouTube and build these things one channel, one platform at a time. Let me clarify that a little bit about the ad. So when we say ad, probably most people immediately think of this little thing that's got a little sales pitch inside it, right? So in this case, ad simply is a message, a bit of content in any format that we are paying the ad network to distribute. But unlike what most people probably think of as a classic ad, it is not a sales pitch at first. It's just a good message to build up trust, authority, and positioning, and help those people get to know you before you ever give any kind of pitch.
Your responsibility when you're running ads is first and foremost to the reader.
Yep, exactly.
Sometimes called Howard Gossage, who said people read whatever they want to read, and sometimes that's an ad.
Yeah.
If you found this episode helpful, you can continue your education with us through our Maze Insider membership program. As a Maze Insider, you'll get our monthly print newsletter, a monthly members-only webinar, plus unlimited support from myself and Jonathan through our private Google group. go to maizemarketingpodcast.com/insider and enter the promo code podcast at checkout for a free 1-month trial.